Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Van for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, February the 13th. And once again, we have a really big show lined up for our listeners tonight. We will start with a winner in our winner's circle by the name of Derek Thorne. He won the Winter Showdown this weekend at Kern County Raceway as part of the SRL Southwest Touring Series. And Derek is kind of a regular on our show. We've had him on the show several times, and it was really great to see him get that win this weekend. And he not only won that race, he dominated the winter showdown this weekend at Kern County. And we will be talking with Derek Thorne about that victory when he comes on air with us at about 8:40 p.m. Eastern time. So look for that to be happening relatively soon. Now, joining me shortly is going to be our co-host, Sal Segala. He and I are going to kind of get things started here. And then at the 9 o'clock half hour, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that are going on in the NASCAR Touring Series and get everybody up to speed with that as they officially kick off their season this Sunday with the K&N Pro Series racing at New Smyrna Speedway on Sunday. So with that, Sal has now joined us. So welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, thank you, Sharon.
Really looking forward to a really big show tonight with Derek Thorne coming on at 8:40. I was just explaining at 9 o'clock during that half hour, you and I are going to kind of bring people up to speed with what's going on in the NASCAR Touring Series. And then at 9:30, Sal, Brian Olson is coming back to chat with us now that the Winter Showdown is over. And he'll help us wrap up that event this weekend. But you were there as well.
Yeah, I was there. It was a very, very well put together event. You know, of course, you know, we had rain on Friday. So practice and heat races and the top 12 that were supposed to race for the pole, all that stuff got washed out, including stuff that was going on with the Lucas Oil Modifieds. So basically, we went into damage control on Saturday, you know, and try to fit as much as we could in. And you know, Mother Nature was cooperative. It did get cloudy. We did get, you know, 5 or 6 drops of rain, which was about it. But you know, for most of the day, it was cloudy, it was cold. But you know, we got the race in, and you know, it was a very, very good time. You know, for all who went, sold out event, which was nice. Something that the West Coast needed to see that, you know, not only that, you know, but the racing on the track and just to get the race in was, you know, was big.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I listened to some of the post-race interviews after Derek Thorne won that race. I was so happy to see that he was the victor. But to hear Kyle Busch talk and Eric Jones talk after the race, it almost sounded like at least Kyle Busch, it sounded like he'd never raced there before. So the one practice kind of limited him in some respects.
Yeah, it did. You know, it's like somebody had told me, you know, when I was walking around the pits after the race. You know, if you don't come and put your work in, you know what? Especially a track like this, you know what, it's going to be hard to beat, you know, somebody like a Thorne, you know, who's raced the track, who knows the track, not only that, but who puts his time in, you know, he'll sit there through the rain delays, you know, he'll sit there, whatever it takes until they finally say, you know, there's no on track activity, then he leaves the track, you know, but you know, you can't take that away from Busch, you know, you can't take that away from him, you know, I mean, you know, he's other commitments, you know what, he came, you know, He did stay Saturday, you know, and he put his time in, you know. So I mean, you got to take your hats off to him for that. But you know,
absolutely.
Once again, this But, you know, once again, Sharon, this race wasn't about Kyle Busch. This race was about, you know, 40, 45 drivers, 50 drivers that showed up, you know, to try and make the show, you know, that, and they all had an equal shot at winning this thing, you know. And, you know, and the reason I say that is because a lot of people on social media, they made it all about Kyle Busch this, Eric Jones this, Kyle Busch this, Eric Jones that, you know, and you know, more than grateful that he supported, both of them supported this race. You know, but once again, you know, it goes down, you know, to the, you know, to all the other drivers, you know, put in their hard work, their hard time, and, you know, their money, you know, to come out and, you know, and they race these things regularly.
Absolutely, and it was great to see Derek Thorne, who lives there in Bakersfield, come home with that victory. And it's something that he's wanted for a really long time. So I was really happy to see that for him. And we'll talk more about that with Brian Olson during that 9:30 half hour. But, Sal, I wanted to also talk to you about maybe a couple little news bits here before we get into Derek coming on at 8:40. First of all, Daniel Trotta came out. I think a bombshell happened today when Daniel Trotta came out on Twitter and announced that she was leaving Fox Sports 1 to take on the next chapter in her life. And so she it was no longer hosting the Race Hub. It's now being hosted by Shannon Spake. And I watched it today. It looked like everything went pretty seamlessly. But that seemed to come out of nowhere this morning on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, Sharon, a lot of things have been coming out of nowhere this week. You know, not only that, you know, other news, but you know, it's, you know, it's, you know, we've seen a lot of changes. You know, we've seen Jeff Gluck step away, you know, from, you know, from his, you know, website, you know, to be at home too, you know, for whatever reason, you know, and but you know what, we're still getting some good coverage, you know what, and career changes are made, you know what, what we're told is sometimes not always the truth. I'm not saying that you know something else went on behind the scenes, but you know, it's sad that somebody just can't leave a station, you know, or a radio or a website, you know, just say, you know, hey, I will no longer be working here, and leave it at that. You know, I'm working here, I'm working there, or I'm not going to be working anywhere. But you know, it seems like, you know, like the general public, you know, the fans, they want to start digging. You know, then before you know it, by tomorrow, the day after, there'll be all these rumors flying around on why. You know,
I didn't want to get into the negative side of this. I just wanted to talk about the news and get your thoughts about it. As far as I know, Danielle pretty much cut her teeth on you know, Fox Sports 1 and started her journalism career with Fox Sports 1. And then after just 2 years, she ended up as a host of the Race Hub and seemed to be pretty popular within the sport. I'm sure Shannon Spake is going to do a great job, and we just wish Danielle Trotta the best as she moves on with her career, to whatever that might be. we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know what? The reason I threw that in was because of that stupid article. I'm not even going to mention what it's about, who it was about, and why someone posted. But I mean, it was just and then of course, our friend from the website, which I'm not going to mention because I don't want him to get any hits on it, you know, he picks up the story and doesn't even write a story. He just basically took all the quotes and put it in, and now it's flooding Twitter, it's flooding Facebook, you know, and what sucks is he's not even the one that wrote the story. And if he did write it, I would be surprised, because half the stuff he writes is bullshit anyways.
Okay, Sal, I'm glad to see you're so positive about everything tonight here. if we can kind of turn that around and get on the positive side of the bed here, that would be great. anyway, Sal, let's get ready for our next guest that's coming on, because you and I have talked with him a number of times. And I know when I saw that Derek Thorne won the winner showdown, I was so happy to see that had happened, because I know how much it means to him, not only to win, a big event like this, but to do it in his home track at Kern County Raceway, that was huge, I think, for Derek Thorne. And he's here now, so I'm going to go ahead and just bring him into the queue here, and let's get started with the interview. Derek, congratulations on winning at Kern County Raceway, the Winter Showdown for 2017. That had to be an emotional day for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. I don't know if I want a piece of Sal right now. He seems a little bit fired up. Sal definitely got himself a little bit worked up there.
He certainly did, but I think he's smiling right now because I think he's just as happy as anybody to see that you won this weekend, Derek.
Yeah, no, it definitely for us as a team, this is Kern in many different levels for many of us. It's something that we really wanted for the last 3 years since they've been holding this race, and we've come really, really close and had the performance, had the car to win, and just had things not go our way. So to be able to actually sit down, it's Monday here, 6:30 or whatever it is, and to be able to sit down and to pinch yourself and realize that, you know, all of our hard work paid off and all the guys in the team have, you know, put so much work into it. It's great to be sitting here on Monday knowing that we were able to capture the Winter Showdown.
Absolutely. You know, you had your family there. You mentioned in Victory Lane that you met your wife there and how much it meant to Byron and Carol Campbell, the support that they've given you over the years, to finally see that kind of, I don't want to say culminate, but to you know, come all together with that victory in the Winter Showdown had to be special too.
Absolutely. That Byron and Carol give me the opportunity, Campbell, to give me the opportunity they have to be racing for them the last 4 or 5 years, to have Mike Keene as a crew chief. You know, there's just so much work that goes on behind the scenes, and we've been so close to so many different races where it takes almost a perfect race car, in my opinion. You know, some of these open shows when you're running against the likes of the best short track racers in the country, everything has to line up just right, and everything has to just go your way, and this weekend was just the first weekend at a big open show where everything just fell into place. You know, if it was all a puzzle, everything lined up perfectly. The car was phenomenal. Got good track position in qualifying. And then to be able to look in your rearview mirror and see Kyle Busch, to see Donnie Wilson, to see Bubba Pollard, to see Eric Jones, which are some of the best short track racers in the nation, you know, currently and maybe on a list of all-time short track racers. To be able to keep them in your rearview mirror for 250 laps is something to say about this team and how much they've worked and how well prepared our stuff was.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree more. It was a very exciting victory. And now I am going to pass the baton over to Sal Segala, and I give you fair warning, Derek.
Oh, easy on me, Sal. Easy, buddy. Back her down.
Yeah.
Back her down.
Yeah, you know I'll be easy. But anyways, you know, congratulations on the win again. Like you said, it was a big win for the, you know, for you, for the team. I mean, you guys have put in, talking with Byron after the race, you know, we're talking about the work that gets put in, you know, to these races, you know, and you know, it just showed this week because if anyone, for the fans that were there, they seen a textbook win, you know, all the way from fast time to leading all 250 laps, perfect restarts. I don't think there was anything actually that went wrong this whole week.
No, it really didn't. And there was, you know, leading up to the race, there was a lot of work behind the scenes trying to get the car right, adjusted right. We had the weather, everybody there, you know, it was kind of a really tough weekend on a lot of teams because we had a new tire and we got Thursday's practice and it was sunny and 76 and hot and greasy. And then to have the rain come in 24 hours later, wash all the rubber off the racetrack, have the temperature not go over 60 degrees. And the weather swings and everything, you know, kept us guessing for the car, the adjustments we needed to make. And it definitely made it tough on us leading up to the race, but to see it all come together, you know, like you said, for us, it was a flawless weekend to be able to sit on top of the board and qualifying and lead all the laps.
You know, and actually, you know, I think one of the biggest threats had it come from Donnie Wilson. He was the one that was really making a charge, you know, towards the end. And, I mean, these guys, they travel a long way, you know. They attend these races regularly, you know, unlike, you know, the Bushes and the, you know, and, well, of course, back in, you know, when he first started out, Eric Jones, you know, he was part of that group. But, you know, to go out there, you know, and put on a show, you know, and I'm talking about the regulars, you know, the Donnie Wilsons, the Lance Wilsons, the, you know, Jeremy Dawsons, you know, all
yeah,
the way to the Gregsons and all these. David Mayhew,
yeah.
Of course, Johnny,
Bubba, Buddy,
Chainsaw,
Buddy Shepard.
Yeah, Bubba, Paul, and Buddy, you know, and for you to go out there, you know, and get the win in front of your hometown crowd, that must have been huge.
It is, you know, and it's still kind of surreal, to be honest with you. You know, there's so much that goes into it, and it's just such a blur, you know, when you're under pressure and everything's moving, like when those weekends get to be so fast-paced that it doesn't set in right away, but it'll be to be able to lay your head down at night on the pillow and wake up the next morning and look in the mirror and realize that, you know, everything you've been working for as a team, you know, finally came together. You know, racing is a very difficult sport, and, you know, it's a lot of preparation, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears goes into getting to the racetrack, but good old-fashioned lady luck sometimes has to be on your side to complete the weekend in victory lane, and then to be able to finally have, you know, our fair share of luck and have everything go our way and not have any hiccups or anything that went south. You know, it's to be able to be here in Bakersfield is kind of my adopted hometown. But, you know, I met my wife here. Byron and Carol Campbell have given me such a great opportunity here that, you know, to be here in front of so many friends, so many relatives and family and extended family, to be able to park in victory lane in front of them, and then also to be able to bring home the Bobby Joe Durrett, you know, Fast Time Award. With Bobby Durrett being one of our good sponsors' dads, so to be able to keep that within our racing family meant a lot too.
Yeah, and you know, Derek, with you know, lap 220, you know, the caution comes out. Now you have 30 laps. Everybody knows them last 30 laps. You know, is when caution breeds caution. You know, so you're sitting there. You know, green flag flies again and the race starts up again, and then you come down to the white flag. What's going through your mind as you're making that last lap, you know, knowing, you know, the checkers in front of you, you're just, I mean, there was nobody behind you. I mean, I think the closest driver was Eric Jones. It was probably half a lap back.
Yeah, no, it's one of those moments in racing where it's kind of a culmination of feelings. It's a realization that you're one lap away from putting it in victory lane, but it's also a point, you know, where everything starts crossing your mind and you just really focus on not messing up. Like you back off a little bit, you have plenty of room, you're not having anybody breathing down your neck. It allows you to back off a little bit, take it a little bit easy on the final lap, make sure you don't mess anything up. But when you're driving a car that good, you know, as a driver, and that's the deal, or the point, you know, that most people maybe don't realize is there's so much talent there at a race like that. It comes down to equipment, you know, and how well your car handles. But to be able to be ahead of those guys like we were coming to the last lap sure is a relief. I was really praying for no cautions those last 10 or 15 laps because Donnie Wilson, like you said, seemed to have a little bit of steam left in the chamber. And I felt like he might have had something for us if, you know, the caution came out. But luckily, you know, we didn't have to face that situation. We were able to kind of cruise home those last 10 or 15 laps with no cautions. But to be able to bring it home in one piece in front of those guys, man, you're thinking about Kyle Busch and you're thinking about Eric Jones, and then just there's so many guys just waiting to pounce, to take that position away from you. You know, you're just doing everything you can to stay ahead of them and just not mess it up.
So how bittersweet was this victory? You know, when we look at last year, you know, the two of you had Fast Time, you had the fastest car out there, you had the car to beat, and then, like Byron said, a little $10 part, you know, parking for the rest of the race. You don't have to sit in the pits, you know, and watch, you know, what possibly could have been, you know, your first win at the showdown.
That doesn't leave you. You know, that's 365 days in the making. You know, you'd like to say that, you know, come Monday or Tuesday, you'd like to say shake it off and put it behind you, but you know, in racing, like we're talking about the perfect race car, and you go to the Derby, you go to the Summer Showdown, you go to the Winter Showdown, you go to the All-American 400, you're looking for perfection, and it's really hard to find sometimes. Going back to the same track 365 days later, that same setup you had sometimes isn't going to be what you had before, put you where you were, you know, in relativity to the rest of the competition. And last year we had a phenomenal race car just like we did this year, and it didn't pan out. So when we came back, you know, the execution of the team to adjust the car, to get it perfect, to make it where it needed to be to perform, for me, to make my job the easiest behind the wheel to perform and stay out front, you know, you kind of want to put behind last year, but at the same time, it really never leaves the back of your mind. You just want to try to get the car perfect, and you want to get yourself set up in a position with the track position like we had out front, and you just really got to – that's where the preparation comes in. You gotta hope that, you know, everything comes together, all the luck goes your way. You know, no one spins out in front of you, nobody lays down oil in front of you, nothing happens that can cause you to fall out of the race, and you just gotta kinda grin and bear it, hang on, you know, on those restarts, don't miss any shifts, and just try to execute something to have a perfect race car, but just to execute perfection.
Okay, and with that I'm gonna turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Derek, I kind of want to move on to what's next for Derek Thorne. In Victory Lane, the question was asked of Kyle Busch whether or not there might be an opportunity for you within NASCAR with his support. You might recall at Snowball Derby when Eric Jones beat Kyle Busch and won that event, he ended up with a ride in NASCAR. Have you heard from Kyle Busch yet on that note?
No, it hasn't. Not that I wouldn't love the phone call, but I'm definitely not holding my breath. It's just the reality of racing has changed so much, you know, over the last decade, and it even changes year by year as it seems to come along here. But, you know, racing is a business for these teams, and they got to have the money to put the cars on the racetrack, you know, is what it really boils down to. It's just the bottom dollar, and it's just not a cheap sport. And sadly, you know, sponsorship dollars are so hard to come by, which I'm sure you guys discuss all the time, especially in the upper divisions and lower divisions. And the sheer amount of money it costs to go truck racing, let's say with KBM, you know, you're looking at, you know, $125,000 a race to go out and do that. And I don't have the means or the whereabouts to find, even to, if I had the money, but trying to find a sponsor that's willing to put up that kind of money. And that's just for 1 year, you know, and it's to be able to get like a 3, 4, 5 year program put together like you need to as a driver in my position. You want to run trucks, you want to be able to build a nationwide and eventually land yourself in a cup car. But the series of events and the sheer amount of money it takes to get there, you know, it goes so much further than just talent or being able to drive a race car. It's being able to bring the money, you know, as well.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It is really tough to kind of put all that together, for sure. But Kyle did say that he had his 2017 plans already in place, that it would probably be 2018 before you get that call.
That's a good answer.
Anyway, but let me just say that what are your plans for this season? I know you're looking at full time with the SRL Southwest Tour this year.
I think actually just kind of a part-time basis as of right now. It's kind of the Byron and Carol Campbell. They have such a great program, you know, as well as Mike Keene. I feel like this year is more of a laid-back year for us. It's, you know, allowed us to kind of take a step back and just look at races that we really, really want to run and, you know, what's close to home, what means the most to us, what would be fun to go out and try to do. And we're kind of just going to take it 1 month at a time. It looks like we'll run, you know, a part-time schedule, a tour for sure, you know, hit up the tracks that we really like to go to and, you know, just kind of go from there. So to be honest with you, our schedule plans definitely aren't solidified by any means, but, you know, just take it 1 month at a time and try to go to races where we can go out and have fun and try to compete for some wins.
Okay, I think that's great. And we'll certainly keep up with you throughout the year on that note. And I'll pass it back to Sal.
You know, Derek, you talk about, Carol, you know, Byron and Carol Campbell have done, you know, they brought you a really good team, but you know, your crew chief, Mike, he's gone through a lot with you, you know, the past, you know, few seasons that you've raced with him, you know, and to see the look on his face, you know, after the, you know, race was over, you know, you finally got that big victory, you know, that just spoke numbers, you know, about, you know, how much he's, you know, he's really into the team.
It's there's so much weight on his shoulders. You know, he puts so much pressure. Like we were talking the other day, it's, you know, as a driver, we work in the shop together, both on a part-time basis. But, you know, as a driver, I can come in and fabricate and do what I have to do and leave and kind of leave your job at the shop. And you kind of come home and focus on your normal day-to-day life. But, you know, Mike doesn't have that luxury. He carries so much on his shoulders, you know, from a performance standpoint on making sure that the equipment, the car, the mechanics, the handling, and the potential of each and every car that leaves our shop is at 100%. And that's something that's extremely difficult to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And he puts all that on his shoulders, or a lot of it, you know, and he puts it on himself to make sure that we're at 100% every time we leave for the racetrack. So to see him and to see how happy he was and how much time and blood, sweat, and tears that he put into this program and that car to make it what it was, you know, for me to be able to drive something that was that good, you know, I'm really proud of him. I'm honored to have him as a crew chief because, you know, he does so much behind the scenes to make us all look good.
You know, and the thing with Mike, you know, he's real quiet, real humble. You know, he's not out there, you know, like a lot of the crew chiefs, you know, they're, you know, going from team to team, you know, or whatever, you know, however they handle their business. But Mike's really quiet. He's methodical. He gets, you know, he goes in there, you know, he's really good with the, you know, with the rest of the crew, you know, explain, you know, what he wants done. And the crew just seems like they just love him to death.
Yeah, no, he is. Mike's a blessing to this team, and to have him and, you know, his leadership skills and his ability behind the wrenches to get the cars where they need to be, you know, we're very fortunate to have him, you know, at our shop because, you know, it's hard to get somebody with the attention to detail like Mike. You know, they're almost like finding a unicorn, you know, to have someone that's willing to put in the time, the extra effort, you know, the time at the shop and the time at the races and to carry that much load on your own shoulders just to make sure that every last nut and bolt is exactly where it needs to be. Everything is tight, everything is safe, and everything is at 100% working condition. It's something to say about his personality and his character and his ability to lead our team to race wins.
So where would this win, you know, where'd you rate it? Because I remember a few years ago in 2013 when you were racing NASCAR Canyon West, and I remember the look on your face when you won the road course in Sonoma. I mean, you were just – I mean, that was like – you know, that was like almost like a snowball derby win. And then now, you know, now you're adding the winner showdown win. So where would this one rate at?
This rate to the top. This takes the cake, so to speak. We be in Bakersfield, my new adopted hometown, and to be in front of the fans and friends and family like we were, it just doesn't get any better than that. You're competing against the best short track racers in the country for an amount of money, $30,000, which is the largest payday, you know, of any late model race that I know of in the country. And to be able to be racing against Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, Bubba Pollard, the likes of guys that, in my opinion, are some of the best. It, from a sheer competition standpoint, money standpoint, backyard at Bakersfield, right in front of our sponsors, right in front of our fans, in front of our family, it means so much, you know, to me as a driver. But to be a part of that, to be part of the team of Campbell Motorsports, and to be sitting in Victory Lane looking up at it was a sold-out crowd, you know, which is the best crowd I've seen in a long time at Kern County. To be able to be in front of that, it's a place in your heart that, you know, you'll always remember.
Now, Dad, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Okay, Derek. I know racing against the big-name drivers at this event is part of what makes it very exciting, along with all of the, you know, all of the local drivers, you know, out there on the West Coast that have been racing at that track for a long time. This winter showdown has really gotten big in just 3 years. And I'm just wondering if you're planning to be there again for the fourth annual winter showdown.
I'm assuming we are, but like we talked earlier, it's always up to the owner, you know, the owners of the team and what they want to do. But, you know, I couldn't see why we wouldn't. It's just it means a lot to us to be able to be here in our backyard and to see guys coming from all parts of the country, you know, to come to this race. It makes you step up your game, you know, as competitors, as racers, you know, we love to compete. We love to compete against the best. You don't want to show up to a track and compete against, you know, people that don't put 100% into their program. And when you're competing against a dozen or more people that, you know, that come absolutely 100% prepared to win, and you're competing against those teams, it's hard to turn that down. And to be right here in our backyard, I think to run next year's winter showdown, I would really hope we do, and I'm assuming we'll be there for the 2018 version of the winter showdown.
Yeah, got to go and defend that title, Derek.
That's it. We're going to have to.
I think so. I think it's great to have some of the bigger name drivers come out there and be a part of that, just like they do at the Snowball Derby. And now you got to go back up your Winter Showdown win with a Snowball Derby win too.
That would be great. That would be probably the best year you could ever ask for in racing right there.
Right there. I'm looking forward to that happening, Derek. Now, before you go, let's make sure the fans know how they can follow you. I know you do some great videos and different things on Facebook and Twitter and so forth. So,
what I'd like to do is kind of give a shout out to just the team. You know, everybody on the team that works so hard for our deal, and to have you know, my teammate Carlos Vieira. You know, we've been partners with Carlos all of the 2016 season, and we're continuing our partnership for the Race for Autism campaign, 5150 Energy Drink, and it's great to go out and represent a good cause like that. And you know, we couldn't do it without the fans, you know, people that support us and give us their love and support and compassion each and every time we hit the racetrack. So, you know, if anybody's looking to follow Derek Thorne 6, both on Facebook and on Twitter, love to have you guys follow us. If you guys ever have any questions, or would love to look up our schedule, and then DerekThorne.com if anybody's interested in going to the website, looking at results and our upcoming schedule for the season.
Okay, that's outstanding, Derek, and thank you for doing those shout-outs, because that is very, very important, as we talked about earlier in the show.
No, absolutely.
And, Derek, you know we're going to keep tabs on you, and hopefully you'll come back and visit with us sometime throughout this 2017 season.
Oh, absolutely. I really appreciate everything you guys do for short track racing, and it means a lot to always be on your show. And thanks for the invite. Thank you, Sal, for the hospitality, both of you guys, and I hope to hopefully be talking to you again soon, maybe after another win in the near future.
And Sharon, just so you know, I didn't lose that you know, that little mean edge I had when we first started. I tell you, Derek, open up a can of whoop ass on everybody.
We're gonna at least try. We may fail sometimes, but by gosh, we're gonna give it 100%.
Okay, you guys. Derek, safe travels to you, and we'll see you down the road here.
Thanks again, guys. Take care and good luck.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
All right, Sal, that was Derek Thorne, and he was in our winner's circle tonight because he won the Winner's Showdown for the SRL Southwest Tour, and I think it's fantastic. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Oh, you know, Sharon, it couldn't. You know what? I'm just glad we're not governed by the FCC, but all the time, he just went out there. He just kicked some royal ass on everybody. It was an amazing win.
Yeah, we do have kids
I mean,
who listen to our show.
I know. Sorry, but I've been holding that in for a long since Saturday. But all in all, you know what? It was a very well rounded win. It was very methodical. Restarts were on point, and actually nobody ever really came close to passing him. It's like he was in his own area code.
I know. He just really dominated that whole race from the beginning to the end. After he took the pole, nobody else had a chance, it seemed like, because he just stayed out front for the entire day. I didn't get a chance to ask him, but I was just kind of wondering, and maybe I'll ask him this the next time he comes on. I was wondering if he felt anything different going into this event. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You don't have that crystal ball. But sometimes you just have that feeling. And I was wondering if he had that feeling coming into the race this weekend.
You know, he did kind of touch on it a little bit. You know, when I asked him, you know, about, you know, comparing it to last year, you know, when he was fast time, fast practice, fast everything, you know, and you know, then now to come in this year, you know, and not have any hiccups, any flaws or anything. But it was just a textbook win, and his team, I mean, his team worked so hard on that car, including himself.
Absolutely. And it was more than just this race. It's all the races leading up to this race. And that's what makes it so rewarding when it finally happens. So very happy for Derek Thorne and Campbell Motorsports.
And it's funny that you say that, because after the race, me and Byron were talking, and after Byron said, he goes, you know what, he goes, you can't come to these races and expect to win them on one practice. He says, you know, he says, you know, you got to put your time in. You got to come out here on Wednesday. Wednesday was tech day. You know, come out here on Thursday when they practice, you know. You know, sure, people have other commitments. They have other things to do. But, you know, bottom line is that, you know, they were there, you know, practicing, you know. They waited out the rain to, you know, Friday, Kyle wasn't even at the track. He didn't go to the driver's meet or anything. They had another driver in there representing for a driver's meeting, but he didn't show up to the track. So what happens if the rain does happen to break away? You know, then he's got to rush down there, get in the car, you know, get himself prepared. But, I mean, all the other teams, you know, were there, you know. So, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. You know, I mean, each driver handles things differently. But,
and he still did well, you know. He's still in the top five, and Eric Jones still in the top five. So, you know.
But Eric was there. Eric was practicing on Thursday, too.
Right.
You know,
right.
Eric was down there practicing, putting his time in. And actually, Eric says, I talked to Eric a little bit. And he knows who we are.
Yeah, I figured he did. He told me he wants to be on the show, but I can't seem to ever make it work. He's a really busy guy. So hopefully we can make that work at some point down the road, because I'd love to have Eric Jones come back on the show. Okay.
Yeah, he's really a joy to be around. So let's start our next session.
Yeah, it's time to start our next session here. You know, the off season has been a really busy time, and it's just as true for the Touring Series in NASCAR as it is for the Top 3 Series. And this weekend, on Sunday, the K&N Pro Series East has their season opener out at New Smyrna Speedway. And NASCAR has made some changes to their series, just like there's changes to the NASCAR's Top 3 Series. And one of the things is, you know, how we're used to having the green-white checker flag, and it's changed now to the overtime line. Well, the Can-Am Pro Series is doing that this season now, too. They're going to have a overtime line. On the ovals, it's probably going to be over in turn three somewhere, so that when they have a restart, as long as they get past that overtime line, there is no more restarts. The race is over. But if they don't get to that overtime line, then they're going to do another restart so that fans can see a solid finish in that series as well. So I think that's a good move, Sal. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, it is, Sharon, because you know what? The fans, they want to see a complete race. You know, they don't want to see, they don't want to see races end on a yellow or, you know, whatever it may be. But, you know, that's huge for the series. They needed to make some changes. And, you know, and it seems like they're making the changes all for the, you know, for the better.
Absolutely. Now, another thing that's going to happen at the Can-Am East opener at New Smyrna is that they're going to move to group qualifying on oval. So that's a change as well. It's no longer going to be the single qual. At some events, you might still see single car qualifying, but on most of the ovals, you're going to see group qualifying.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting because, you know, anything can happen in a group qualifying effort, especially at the little short tracks that they race at. I mean, it's bad enough that they tear stuff up during the race, and then now you're going to put five or six cars out there at a time trying to, you know, everybody wants the fast time. Everybody wants that pole award. You know, it's extra money. You know, it's an extra trophy, piece of hardware to put. And at the same time, it's bragging rights.
It's bragging rights, and at the same time, though, they want to take care of their car because in order to finish first, you have to finish. And these guys want to keep their car intact in order to be there at the end to win the race. So you bring up a good point that it makes it a little more vulnerable that way, but at the same time, I think it's going to be more exciting for the fans.
You know what? I swear, you sound like Greg Percy when you said that.
Oh,
in order to win the race,
Greg,
you have to
Percy?
Finish. Yeah, Percy was Greg Percy, who we've had on the show before. Me and him were talking. He said the same thing. He goes, in order to win, you have to finish. And I'm thinking, man,
absolutely.
Sharon must have been talking to her. She must have been in that conversation.
Oh, perhaps. Perhaps I've heard him say that. Okay, now let's talk. We talked about this next change a little bit when we had Bill McAnally on the show last week. The first four events, there's a $100,000 reward or bonus for any driver who wins those first four races. And we'll know after the second race and third and fourth, so on, whether or not anybody's going to even contend for that. But the Can-Am East is going to have something similar, too. They're going to run twin races at Virginia South Boston Speedway. And the NASCAR Penske Series is also doing so at the Wyatt Group Raceway in Saskatchewan. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, because these twin 100-lap features, they did that a little bit last season. It's interesting to see them bringing that back again this year.
Yeah, and actually last year they did it at the Utah Motorsports Campus. They ran
in the
West Series. They and actually it was a road course, and that was very interesting. I was out there for that race, shooting that race, and the strategy the teams played for the first race, knowing that was the only car they had, you know, because NASCAR wasn't going to allow them, if they wrecked, they weren't going to allow them to bring in their backup car. So whatever they had in between races, they're going to have to repair it and fix it. So there was a lot of repairs going on in between the two races. But, of course, we know that Noah Gragson won both those races, and he was able to keep his car in one piece.
Yes, indeed. And that's what it's going to take, I think, in all of these events. Those four races that are happening out there in the West are taking place within a one-week period. Four races at three tracks during 7 days will kick off that Can-Am West Series. And it was announced right here on Fan for Racing Radio last week. They originally thought they were going to make that bonus award of $50,000. And Napa stepped up to the table, and they've now made it a $100,000 bonus for any driver that wins all four of those races. That's huge.
Yeah, you want to hear something funny on that note?
What?
Was Kevin Green is Bill McAdowell's PR rep.
Mm-hmm.
And right, and on the way to work tonight, I had to call Kevin, you know, because we're trying to wrap up some things, you know, for this season, you know, what, you know, my responsibilities are going to be. And he goes, I can't believe that Bill made that announcement on your show, and I didn't even know nothing about it.
Oh, no.
About the 100,000. He knew nothing about it. And then the Riley Herbst thing, the same thing. He goes, I didn't know that. He goes, we had talked about Riley. He goes, but he goes, he never really made it official. But the only thing that was official was the Chris Eggleston signing.
Right,
Now he kind of explained.
But he did that last year too, Sal. Think about it. He did it last year. He made those announcements on our show last year before the PR came out the next day. So, you know, we really appreciate Bill McAnally doing that right here on Fan for Racing Radio. But this was all big news.
Yeah, and actually he explained why Bill's doing it in 8 days. He says he's hoping to get, because this year the East champion and the West champion, remember last year during the Iowa race, they either had to pick one race or the other, you know, whatever they're going to get the points from. But the way they have it set up this year is that we could possibly have an East Series champion and a West Series champion. So with that said, Bill, when he talked to Napa, he said, you know what, and talked to NASCAR, he goes, let's run these four races within an 8-day period. He goes, this way, you know, the teams can stay out here. They don't have to, you know, incur, you know, the extra travel costs it's going to take, you know, to go back and forth, which most teams, what they'll do is they'll find a team out here, you know, to kind of park the cars at, or else the tracks have already offered, you know, spots, you know, for the haulers. Because the first race will be at Tucson, and then from Tucson they're coming to Bakersfield on a Thursday night, and then Thursday night they just travel up over the Grapevine, which is about a 4-hour drive to Urrindale, and then they have the last two races at Urrindale. So the way NASCAR and them set it up, after the race Saturday night at Tucson, you know, they have basically from Tucson to Bakersfield will probably be about a 10 to 12-hour trip with the haulers. So they'll be there Sunday, and then they'll have, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to prepare for the Thursday night race. And then Thursday night, at the end of the race, they just have to drive up over the hill to Irwindale to be there Friday morning.
Okay. Well, it makes a lot of sense for them to do that when you really put it that way, Sal. And I think it makes it easier for all the drivers as well. So I think it's going to be a huge kickoff. That starts in March, the doubleheader, the four-race run there starts at Tucson Speedway, as you mentioned, on March 18th. So that's definitely something for fans to mark your calendar for. It's a huge kickoff event out there for the K&N West this season.
Yeah, it's going to be big, and I'll tell you that if somebody does win the first three, that fourth race, he is not going to finish because they're already talking about putting bounties out for whoever wins the first three. So,
well, you remember Todd Gilliland won quite a few races to start off the season last year between the East and the West.
Yeah, well, see, the thing with Todd was Todd finished second in Tucson last year, one Irwindale, one Kern. But the thing is now they got the back-to-back races occurring the same night, so it's really going to be interesting, to see how, first of all, it's going to be interesting to see what teams from the East come out, to try and nab that money. But walking around Saturday, some of the West teams, and they're already ponying up the money together and saying, let's see who comes into the fourth race, winning the first three. They said he's not gonna make it. Unless he wants to pay us off, $5,000-$10,000, out of that $100,000. But yeah, there's already bounties going out, and I'll tell you, if it's Todd, he might as well not even get out there for the fourth race, because I know Chris Eggleston has something for him.
Well, I know, Chris Eggleston will not be denied this year, I don't think, and he's going to be on it for the entire season. So that will be fun to watch as well.
Here's something else that came straight from Jerry Pitts for the West Series 2 is Jefferson Pitts does not have a driver so far signed for their team.
Oh, that's interesting. Can we expect to get some news there soon?
When I talked to Jerry, he said that as soon as we find something out, he goes, we'll let you know. He said, but as of today, Saturday, he goes, we don't have nobody. But there's two guys that are in the wings, kind of, that might have an outside chance at grabbing one of those seats. It's going to be interesting to see if one of them is a 15-year-old kid and the other one is, I think Will is 22 or 23 years old. So it's going to be interesting to see if actually the one is Ryan Vargas. He was out with the team this weekend, and he was out there helping the team get to know what they're like, getting to know the crew and stuff like that. So it's going to be interesting to see if Ryan Vargas does end up playing seats.
Yeah. Now, we talked about this in earlier shows as well. Julia Landauer, who was racing with Bill McAnally Racing last season, is now racing with Bucati Racing. And her teammate, it's escaping me right now. Ryan Partridge, I thought, was coming back with Bucati.
Oh, that's another thing, too. Ryan is back. Ryan was racing modified Saturday night, and I talked to him a little bit on Saturday, but I talked to his crew chief, Jeff Schrader, at the Irwindale banquet a couple weeks ago, and he said that Ryan was coming back. They hadn't made the announcement, and actually they made the announcement last week.
Okay, so that's what I thought I had heard, is that Ron Parker is going to be racing with Bucati again, with Julia Landauer as his teammate. So that's going to be pretty cool to see the two of them racing and how they work together as teammates.
And then, of course, Cole Roos, who used to drive for Bucati last year, he signed with Cowbush Motorsports for 10 super late model races. And it's funny because when Kyle was in tech on Saturday night, they took the wrap off the car while they were teching the car, getting ready for Cole's first race.
Okay, so that's pretty awesome. Also, we're talking a lot about the you know, what's happening out there in the West. Let's not forget that there's a race at the K&N Pro Series East at New Smyrna just this weekend, February the 19th. And that's always a huge event as well. And there's going to be quite a few drivers that are racing in that event. But we're still waiting for some news out of the K&N East as well. You know, what's happening, you know, with some of those teams, with H. Scott Motorsports, we still don't know what's going to happen there.
Yeah, and actually there's probably four or five West teams that'll be out there this weekend for the opener in Smyrna.
Yeah, I think that's going to be awesome as well. Now, also racing this weekend, Sal, is the ARCA Racing Series. They're going to be racing before the Clash that's going to be taking place Saturday night, 8 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time that they'll be racing the Clash. And the ARCA Racing Series will have their season opener just before that. So that's going to be a big event to watch as well. There's Lyra Motorsports. We're seeing them. They're going to have Michael Lyra in a car. And then Clint King is going to be in a Lyra Motorsports car for that ARCA Racing Series as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend for racing, you know, as our, you know, as the touring series gets started. But there was another announcement made today too, which came from Patriot Motorsports, which actually they're running John Woods cars in the K&N West Series, and that's a 3-time NFL Pro Bowl linebacker, Sean Merriam, is going to be a team owner with Patriot Motorsports.
Oh, that's cool.
And Jesse just made the announcement today. So that's going to be interesting, you know, see how that pans out. I mean, I know Sean's going to be bringing a lot of money to that team, which is, if I'm not mistaken, it's either 6 or 7-car team right now.
Wow. So, yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. Now, the Clash that's happening Saturday night for the Monster Energy Series, there's actually 4 drivers that are eligible for that Clash night, but they're not going to be racing. Tony Stewart retired. Dale Earnhardt Jr. said he's going to sit out in favor of Alex Bowman taking his seat. Greg Biffle still doesn't have a ride. For this season, it'll be interesting to see if there's an announcement there sometime within the next 2 weeks. And then, of course, Carl Edwards retired. I'm sorry, Sal.
I said, he ain't coming back. That guy's washed up, man. He's too old.
Okay. I'm only pointing out, Sal, that there's 4 drivers that aren't going to be racing. Now, let's talk about the drivers who are going to be racing. This week, the drivers that are eligible for the Advanced Auto Parts Clash, I thought it was going to be the Monster Energy Clash. It's actually the Advanced Auto Parts Clash. You've got Joey Logano in the number 22, Kevin Harvick in the number 4, Kurt Busch in the number 41, Matt Kenseth in the number 20, Denny Hamlin in the number 11, Kyle Busch will be in the number 18, Brad Keselowski, of course, in the number 2, Jimmy Johnson will be in the number 48. We mentioned earlier that Alex Bowman will be racing on Saturday night. He'll be in the number 88. Austin Dillon in the number 3. Martin Truex Jr. in the number 78. Chase Elliott in the number 24. There's nobody who's really announced yet for who's going to be taking the place of Greg Biffle or Carl Edwards. A former Daytona 500 pole winner, Danica Patrick, will be racing in the number 10. And then drivers who were in the last year's chase that didn't qualify otherwise include Jamie McMurray in the number 1, Kyle Larson in the number 42, and Chris Buescher in the number 37. Daniel Suarez actually is going to be subbing for Carl Edwards in the number 19. So that is announced. The only one that there's really no announcement yet is the number Greg Biffle's car, the number
16.
So that's a pretty full lineup for the Clash on Saturday night. Do you have any favorites looking at that entry list?
Nah, you know what? But if I'm not mistaken, they're also getting points for this, right?
They well, not for the Clash, but they will be getting points for the duels that will be taking place.
That's right.
Not this Thursday, but a week from this Thursday, they will be getting points there.
It's going to be interesting. I don't know. I kind of look for Alex Bowman, you know, to be strong. He was strong last year, you know, when he subbed for Dale Earnhardt Jr. So I kind of think that he might be one of my picks.
Yeah, a lot of drivers use this as kind of a test session to prepare for the Daytona 500. It gives them a chance to get out there on the track. It's the first time they've been behind the wheel all season for a race, and I'm sure it's not going to be disappointing to see how this plays out. I think it's going to play out, you know, it's the format is that there's going to be, it's a 75-lap, 187.5-mile race, and there will be two segments. There'll be a competition caution at lap 25 that will separate the segments. So that's something for fans to be aware of. Now, we said that the 8 o'clock Saturday night on February the 18th, that will be on FS1. They'll have pre-race starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time, but the green flag, they expect to drop that at sometime around 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So get your calendars marked for that race because it's going to be a big one and usually a pretty exciting race at that.
And you know what? I hate to be Kyle Busch. After getting spanked on Saturday, and then he's got to go, you know, with his, you know, he's got to go with the big boys now. You know, they're going to, hey, Kyle, what happened on Saturday? Not only that, but you know what? Now Eric Jones is, they're 2-0 because Eric beat Kyle Busch. I remember last time Eric beat Kyle was in the Snowball Derby. So Eric has two up on Kyle. So
well. You know how Kyle Busch is. That's just motivation to fuel the fire, and he may be strong on Saturday night at Daytona. Now, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's not going to be behind the wheel of his car, he's going to be in the booth. So he'll be in the Fox NASCAR television booth as a guest driver analyst for the coverage of the Clash at Daytona. So you can look for Dale Jr. to be on TV just the same.
You know, and I mean, his commentary is okay. It's so-so, but the one I really liked last year, you know, when he was racing and gave commentary was Brad Keselowski. He was really good behind the mic.
Mm-hmm. And the Fox is going to have they've got a whole schedule put together already for folks that are going to help them out in the broadcast booth. So, you know, we'll post some news about that here for fans who want to know. You know, the drivers that are going to be in the Fox booth this season.
Yeah, you know, Sharon, I'm surprised Jeff Gordon didn't go in there and do the commentary.
Well, Jeff Gordon is part of the Fox broadcast booth already.
That's
so
right.
So I expect him to be there.
Yeah, you hope he's going to be there. If not, maybe
he'll
show
up
at Kurt.
Yeah, he's going to be there, I'm pretty sure. Jeff Gordon is going to be there as part of the Fox broadcast booth. NASCAR America, they started their season today, too. So that was good to see NASCAR America back on NBC Sports Network as well.
You know what? And actually, they had Chris Bell was up at the showdown, too. He was up there on, I think he was up there on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
And then he left. So I don't know. There was rumors saying that if the race would have got pushed back to Sunday, that Chris Bell wouldn't be driving the number 51 car. But then
well,
when
I
talked to Cole
Chris
Roos,
Bell will be with Venturini Motorsports at Daytona for that ARCA race. So Venturini's got an all-star cast for the Daytona race in the ARCA Racing Series with Christopher Bell, Tanner Thorson, and Rafael Lazard, who has raced for David Gilliland Racing. They're all going to be racing with Venturini Motorsports at Daytona. So It's going to be pretty fun to see what happens for Venturini Motorsports this week at Daytona.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, they have an all-star lineup. They got some good drivers in there, and you know, it's going to be a good race. They're really going to put on a good show. They always do.
They always do. With that, Sal, we're going to kind of turn the corner here into our third segment with Brian Olson. He's here now if you want to go ahead and do the introductions.
Okay, our next guest is from the SRL. You have to give a hat to the whole SRL crew for the job that they did this weekend, you know, with all the, you know, with the rain and, you know, having to reschedule things. But, they all work hard, and, you know, and it's always an honor to have Brian Olson on the show. You know, we had him on to talk about the showdown, and now we get him on to talk about post-showdown to get his views on, you know, on how and when, and if we're going to see a fourth showdown. So with that, we want to welcome Brian Olson to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Oh, thanks for coming on, Brian. Once again, you know, we just had Derek Thorne on, and, you know, we talked about, you know, how everything went on there. Of course, he won the race, you know, which was great for the West Coast, but what was even more greater was seeing the stands full and, you know, the fans, they stayed around, they came, and all the drivers that participated.
Yeah, you know, overall, it was a great weekend. I know we had some hurdles to overcome, but, you know, it's not for lack of effort or lack of preparation, you know, on our entire staff. We, you know, we had game plans A, B, C, and D going into the weekend. And, you know, we just had to call the audible and make changes that we didn't want to have to make and put everything, you know, into a one-day show, which, you know, makes it difficult, you know. And we were able to get it all in and a phenomenal race and, you know, a great ending to a great week, that's for sure.
You know, Brian, with all the preparations that went into this event, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, you know, of course, you know, went off without a hitch. You had the pre-race party. You know, Wednesday the cars came out, you know, they teched and, you know, guys got a lot of good solid practice on Thursday. Then, of course, the rains came on Friday. And then, you know, of course, came that time, you know, when you had to make the announcement, you know, that no track ever wants to make.
Yeah, you know, we decided as a group that whatever the decision we were going to make, we were going to make it early enough so people can make it, you know, make those adjustments in their schedule to be able to, you know, not only the track but also the race teams. We didn't want to sit out there in the rain for the next 8-10 hours and just, you know, it just no one wants to be in that situation. So we made the decision to make, you know, whatever it was, we're going to make the decision at 12:30 and let everybody know and then move forward with plan B and that's redoing our schedule for Saturday. And, you know, I do have to say that we did get a lot of, you know, a lot of compliments on being being stern, making a decision and moving forward instead of being him and hawing on what we were going to do. So, you know, I applaud Ricky and Larry, you know, for working diligently on getting that schedule redone and getting into our teams. And it went off without a hitch. I mean, I would have to say, you know, Saturday was a long day. You know, I got to the track just before 6 yesterday morning with dryers on the track. You know, you never want to see dryers on the racetrack, hoping we get it, you know, get it dry, dark skies all the way around. Thinking, man, I really don't want to be here another day. I've been here enough these last couple of days. So, but we got it all in, and we, you know, got the race done before 9:30, and everybody was home, you know, at a decent time. So, it was good, man. For at one point in time, it was a low, and we were able to turn around and end on a high. That's for sure.
Well, you know, congratulations on a great event. And with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Sharon.
Okay, I want to add my congratulations, Brian, on a successful third annual SRL Winter Showdown, and from everything I've heard, it was fantastic. As Sal mentioned, we talked to Derek Thorne, the race winner, and for him, he felt it was one of the biggest. It was the biggest win of his career, and really, really special. And to be able to race against drivers like Kyle Busch and Eric Jones and Bubba Pollard was really big for him. That has to make you feel pretty good to know that this event has become kind of one of the premier events in the super late model, among super late model drivers.
Yeah, I mean, anytime that you can attract, like I said, when I was on last week, anytime you can attract that type of talent to your event, and then to get the accolades afterwards, and, you know, You know, Kyle Busch Motorsports and Eric Jones and, you know, Donnie Wilson and Bubba and all those guys, you know, just applauding us and patting us on the back and just telling them, you know, what a well-run show. To me, that goes a long way. Those guys have been – some of those guys have been racing longer than I've been even in the sport. So to hear those type of compliments for our entire staff and, you know, the dedication we have for our entire team is just it goes a long ways. And to see Derek come out with a victory, you know, I mean, obviously I would have been happy with anybody with a victory, but I know Derek's had that monkey on his back the last 2 years with – you know, sitting fast time and, you know, wanting to win that so bad, you know, in front of his hometown. And, you know, he had a different look on his face when I saw him right before driver introductions. And I've been able to watch many of his races, I've been able to talk to him many times before he gets in the race car. And I could tell there was just something different about him. And I'm not saying it was the winning look, but it was just a different look that Derek Thorne had. And for to see him, you know, cross the start-finish line first was pretty cool, especially for the West Coast.
That is very cool. And you know, you mentioned the staff, the SRL Southwest Tour staff. Let's do some shout-outs for the people behind the scenes that don't normally get some accolades for all the hard work that they do, because I know you have a whole team of people that are putting this all together, and they've really they had a lot of up and downs this weekend, but they've done a lot of work leading up to the event that took place this weekend.
Yeah, you know what, and I hate to say this, but I'm not really thinking clearly after being at the racetrack for my whole life, it seems like, the last couple of weeks. So I don't want to just throw names out there, because I'd be afraid that I'd forget someone, because we do have a great staff. We have a great staff. We have our, you know, our regular SRL officiating staff that travels with us. And then we brought in a lot of people that come in and help us for this event. You know, and obviously, you know, Ricky Brooks leading that charge, you know, be able to have him kind of steer the ship for us, and the relationships that he's already developed with our current staff and future staff is pretty cool. We have a great group of people. They love the sport. They love each other. And, you know, it's they don't do it for the money. They're not out there for the money. They're out there for the passion. They're out there doing it for something that they love. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for the dedication that they and the commitment they had over the last 3 or 4 days out there at Kern County Raceway.
Well, they certainly have our kudos, and I'm sure the kudos of a lot of fans. I heard you guys had a packed racetrack out there, and that has to be a good feeling as well. And I'm sure they appreciated all of the hard efforts that you guys put in there.
Yeah, you know, it was great. It was very rewarding. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish up.
No, I was just saying it was like you alluded to with being a packed house. You know, it was cool to be able to actually take that all in and look up in the stands and go, man, this is what we all worked for to kind of get racing back on the map here in Bakersfield and Kern County. And I really think that we put a big step forward this past weekend out of Kern County Raceway.
Absolutely, and I'm going to pass the baton back to Sal. So that he can ask his questions as well.
Brian, you know, the race is over, the weekend's done. You know, it's now it's time to get into, you know, into the regular, you know, Southwest Tour Series, you know, for the conclusion of the season. When you guys sat back Saturday night, you know, after everything was over, you know, equipment was loaded, you know, you have you guys kind of debrief. What was the sense or the feeling, you know, of everybody that was involved, you know, during that debriefing?
Well, probably the best reaction was my family. They finally got their husband and their dad back. That was probably the best part of the whole weekend. Actually, went to my son's basketball. I just hustled home from my son's basketball game, and I feel like I haven't seen him play basketball in a long time. So that's always feels good to get back into the normal life, you know. So that's first and foremost. But you know, actually, it was funny. Larry and I had the opportunity to drive home together, which we don't usually do. Just things worked out, and it was pretty quiet all the way home. Not for other reason. I just think we're just absolutely exhausted, and we haven't really had an opportunity to sit down and kind of go over the weekend. We each have our own notes, and you know, my job hasn't ended. My job, you know, so I don't deal with the technical side of the series. I deal with all the business side of the paperwork side of it. So I still have a couple weeks ahead of me just to get my head out of the water to kind of get regrouped from the event. So, but you know what? We don't have much time. You know, March 25th is our season opener, and it's going to be a great event at Irwindale Speedway along with the Can-Am West Series. So, but looking back, I mean, great weekend. Car count was where we wanted it to be. You know, the race was great. I mean, we had three cars that were involved in, you know, in cautions, other than, you know, we had mechanicals, but only three cars that were involved in any incidents. You know, to be done at a decent time to get people home, you know, and to have a different winner, you know, is always good. You know, I mean, Bubba would have been a great three-time winner, don't get me wrong, but, you know, anytime you can have a new winner, it's always adds new life to any type of event. And, you know, being it's my hometown and, you know, family and friends, and, you know, you work your butt off and you want to see success, and to be able to see, look up in the stands and see it packed. It's been a long time. It's been a long time since we've been able to see that, and it was very rewarding.
And you know something, Brian, and I think, and not getting off the topic, but I think what went a long way was to see Noel, Johnny, and Ricky at the go-kart track, you know, during the Radio Land on Friday, you know, to see them interact, you know, with the drivers, you know, of course there were fans there, there's people from the Bakersfield track there's kids there, you know what, and to see, you know, SR officials there, you know, interacting, getting in the go-karts, racing against the drivers, you know, against just different people, and I think that goes a long way. That's something that we were talking about at Orindale this past season, you know, but, you know, for them to interact the way they did, you know, and see them in a different light, you know, just especially Ricky. I mean, everybody knows Ricky was, you know, there was no gray area with him, but over there, you know, he just
right. Loose,
you know, and went out there and just had a great time.
Yeah, you know, and I couldn't agree with you more. I was almost looking back on Friday going, you know what, it's almost a great opportunity to not race that day. Where race team could go and enjoy the day, go to the indoor, you know, car track here in Bakersfield, give our officials the opportunity to go hang out, and if they want to have a couple of cold beers and enjoy each other, you know, that's great. Unfortunately, on the business side, it was hurt because, you know, we lost business not being able to race that Friday night. But, you know, with Ricky, you know, I've had the opportunity to get to know him over the last couple of years. And, you know, when he's in that infield, you know, he's there to do a job. And, you know, that's what he's there for. And he does his job really well. But outside that infield, you know, he's a great guy. He's hilarious. He's fun to hang out with. He's a good time. And I admire him to be able to wear both of those hats and wear them both very, very well. And I'm glad that he's a part of our staff. And I'm glad that, like I said, he's going to be steering that ship leading forward for the Sincere Southwest Tour Series in 2017.
Well, I'll tell you what happened at that track stays in that track, because it was a pretty wild time. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sherry.
Okay, it sounds like it was a really wild time. But people had a lot of fun, and that says a lot for the people who are managing behind the scenes. And you know, a lot of people are wondering, and I don't think it's much of a wondering, but they're looking forward to hearing news of when the next Winter Showdown is going to take place. Are you looking at doing a fourth annual Winter Showdown?
Well, you know, there's many times during the weekend I told myself this needs to be the third and final, because I don't think I'm going to make it through it. But getting through yesterday, you know, and I finally turned my phone on about 10 o'clock yesterday morning after I got up and visited with my kids and my wife. And, you know, the text after text and message after message and voicemail after voicemail and posts on social media, it's like, you're like, wow, okay, you know what, this is a cool deal, and this is a cool deal to be part of, and I want to create a legacy for motorsports out here on the West Coast. And so during those dark times and the times where you just go, man, this is just too much, too overwhelming, it, those messages that you get and those things, and to see the determination and the joy on Derek's face getting out of that race car, and, you know, seeing Donnie Wilson, you know, charge from 22nd to second, you know, and just, I don't know, I just, there's a lot of cool moments that come from the weekend. It makes you just want to start getting after it right now and get that fourth annual one on the books.
And so we'll certainly stay tuned for when that gets announced, because I know a lot of people, you know, the fact that you had a packed house should tell you that it's becoming very, very popular and something that people are looking forward to every year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I think it'll continue to grow, Sharon. I think it's going to grow, and you know, I think Kyle Busch will be back next year. I think he enjoyed himself. I think his crew enjoyed themselves, and you know, I think he wants to be up there battling for the win, and he didn't have the showing that I'm sure that he wanted. So there may be some redemption on his part as well, and we'd love to have him and Eric back and the entire group back. It's a great, great cast of talent on the racetrack, that's for sure.
It really is. And now I'm going to swing back to Sal in case he has any other questions he'd like to ask.
Yeah, actually, Brian, once again, man, I really got to congratulate you and the whole team, you know, along with the track, you know, people working with the track, for the track, you know, and the drivers for sticking it out, and being cooperative, because I've seen when you have delays and stuff, you know, there's a lot of bad blood sometimes going around, you know, and, you know, a lot of this and a lot of that, but it seemed like, you know, like the drivers, you know, I think what made them really happy was that you called the race early enough in the day, you know, to where they were, you know, able to go, you know, do something else besides, you know, sit in their haulers in the rain, you know, and twiddle their thumbs. And, you know, that speaks, you know, tons, you know, for the way you guys planned this race.
Well, thanks, Al. You know, and I think, unfortunately, it's a lost art that, you know, those race teams are our customers. No one's holding the gun to their head to make sure that they're coming to that racetrack. And we got to treat them like our customers and look out for their best interests as well, even though it may have hurt us, you know, financially on the overall of the event canceled Friday night. But, you know, our customers were happy with our decision, you know, and that's the most important thing. They go back to Oklahoma, they go back to Georgia, they go back to Texas, Florida, and they go, man, those guys take care of you out there. And a lot of people come through the back gate, you know, man, you guys are some of the nicest racetracks I've ever been to. And that goes a long ways, you know. It's a cool feeling that, you know, it starts at the top, and, you know, the way we conduct ourselves, you know, carries all the way through to our officials and the guy parking cars. And, you know, Steve Hughes, the track is phenomenal. It is a phenomenal job, you know, and I'm grateful that he's my friend. And he's so very, very, very talented man, and is so seamless in the way that he broadcast that race. And Jeremy Anders coming down from, you know, Pacific Northwest to help him. It's just an overall well done then. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud and more excited for what we were able to accomplish this past weekend.
You know, and I think a lot of the fans, I know throughout the morning on Facebook, text messages and messages, I was getting a lot of messages asking, it's raining, what's going to happen? Are they going to run? Are they going to do this? You know, do we make the trip down there? You know, and I just told them, I said, you know what, at noon, they're going to make an announcement. At noon, you know, I'll post. At noon, I'll text you guys. You know, you guys will all find out what's happening. Of course, Ricky Bruce goes in there and says, oh, you know what, we're going to wait until 6 o'clock. And everybody's jaw just dropped. You know, he goes, we have an alternate plan, you know. But I mean, this goes a long way with the fans, too.
Yeah, it's cool. It's great. You know, I mean, we've had this is the third annual, and we've battled rain 2 out of 3 times. So, you know, and it's worked. You know, unfortunately, you can't plan for the weather and, you know, hope that, you know, and today's absolutely beautiful. It's 77 degrees here in Bakersfield. People wearing shorts and flip-flops. So, you know, we missed it by a day or two. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, and you can't plan around the weather. You just got to, you know, put your best foot forward, pick a date and move forward and make sure that it works for everybody that's involved.
Yeah, you know, it's like I said, Derek Thorne beat everybody. I said nobody could beat Derek Thorne on Saturday, not even Mother Nature. Not that, I'm going to turn it over
right
to Sharon.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that the next race is at Irwindale, March 25th. That's the next leg for the SRL Southwest Tour. And fans want to know how they can follow the Southwest Tour. And I want to make sure, too, Brian, that you get a chance to give any other shout-outs that you do want to give to sponsors or whoever.
Well, I mean, obviously the most important sponsor for our series, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have a race series, probably nor the Winter Showdown, that's Spears Manufacturing. Wayne and Connie Spears have been a big part of our series. They're title sponsor for the last 7 years. You know, they've been in motorsports, the Craftsman Truck Series and Winston West Series, and been a staple in motorsports definitely here on the West Coast. So they're the reason why we get to do what we get to do every weekend, that's for sure. And we got 5150 Energy Drink and Carlos Vieira's company, and, you know, obviously their support Race for Autism campaign. And, you know, we got a lot of great, great, great sponsors. We have contingency sponsors that support our series. And, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out, that's for sure. Moving forward for you know, into 2017, you know, we have the Spears Manufacturing 100 as part of the opening weekend at Irwindale Speedway with Kanan West Series. And that's just a great event to start our series off. I think it's been 4 or 5 years since we ran with the K&N series up at Roseville. It's the same weekend as Cup is at Fontana. So great event for motorsports. You love racing. You can go down to Fontana, you get short track racing Saturday night and get the Super Speedway, or I'm sorry, the Speedway, I just want to call it, and Fontana on Sunday. So It's like 6 weeks, or five and a half weeks away, so we got to get after it.
Absolutely. It comes pretty fast. And, again, we really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show with us. 2 weeks in a row, you came out to help us preview and to wrap up, and we really appreciate that, Brian. We know how tired you are and the extra effort that it takes to make that happen. So thank you for being open to that possibility, and we hope to somewhere down the road be able to chat with you again.
That'd be great. We'd love to be back on, and you know, we have a great season ahead of us. We've got 9 points raised starting in March, and we finished up in November at the Bull Ring of Las Vegas Motor Speedway. So we're excited about it. Just take a deep breath, and we'll be back racing here in no time.
Okay. Well, we'll get some rest while you can, and take care, okay? And again,
thank
congratulations,
you guys, for having me
on a great event.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much as well.
All right. Take care now.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. That was Brian Olson. He's part of the Southwest Tour, SRL Southwest Tour, sponsored by Spears. And I'll tell you what, that event this weekend, Sal, for their third year, I think it's really huge that they're packing in the stands already, and I can't wait to hear about the fourth annual Winter Showdown.
Oh yeah, I mean it's so far it's built up from the first one, you know, the second one, you know, of course it gets a little bigger. I think a lot of the drivers back east, you know, they just want to see what kind of steam this is going to carry, you know, what kind of, you know, commitment, you know, the different drivers are going to make, and then you get to this one, you know, where you get Eric Jones, and then, you know, a week or two after Eric signs, you know, then you get Kyle Busch, you know, who makes a commitment. You know, I think that just speaks, you know, volumes of, you know, all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. Not only that, but, you know, the caliber of driver that comes out. I mean, you got guys all the way out from, you know, Georgia, you know, Bubba Pollard, you know, you have them coming out, you know, from, you know, North Carolina, you know, South Carolina, you have them coming, you know, from all over the states, you know, to come and race this event.
Absolutely, and that says a lot in and of itself, the fact that these are the best drivers, you know, in Derek Thorne's words, these are some of the best super late model drivers across the country that are coming together to this track. And, you know, anybody who wins feels like they've really accomplished something to be able to beat those drivers. So, I'm sure we'll see more of the same next year when they do this again. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when. And we'll definitely watch for that news.
Yeah.
Now,
I a lot of drivers are, I think, we're happy that Derek won. They know he's put his time in. You know, he's just not a, like what we call, you know, one-track wonder, you know, where he's just racing on the West Coast. I mean, he's made – last season he made many trips back east, you know, to race, you know, so I mean he's put his time in, you know, and he was due. I think last week we talked about it, and I told you, like, well, Derek is, the track owes him one, you know, and
I'll tell you what, if there's
showdown.
Any absolutely, and if there's any potential sponsors out there that are looking for a driver, look no further than Derek Thorne, because he is so well-spoken, such a great ambassador for the sport of racing. A sponsor would do very well to get behind somebody like Derek Thorne. And I'm hoping that this weekend brings a lot of attention to him, because he certainly deserves that. And would certainly be an asset to any series he chooses to race in.
Yeah, it would definitely be. You know, it's, you know, just a matter. I mean, just a matter of time, and we'll see if he does get anything. But you know, even talking with him, you know, he says, you know, he goes, I'm kind of at that age, you know, to where, you know, kind of too old, you know, to, you know, even though he's still under 30, but. You know, most of the teams that are looking for, you know, young kids, you know, somebody, you know, they can develop, you know, and, but, you know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Mark Martin was, I guess, he's going to be racing a late model later on this season.
Right. I tell you what, I think Derek Thorne would be a great replacement for Greg Biffle.
You know what? Somebody posted
but we'll
that.
We'll see. Huh?
So somebody seriously posted that. You know about Derek. They said Derek's like the Greg Biffle. You know, without a big time ride, but. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see what happens. Time will tell the rest of that story. So.
Oh yeah, it will. You know what? I've always been
okay.
Stepping at the desk for him.
Now Mario Andretti was announced as the honorary starter, a race official for the Daytona 500. So it'll be great to see Mario Andretti at Daytona this in the next couple of weeks here.
Did you know that Mario Andretti has won the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, so I guess I'm not as smart as I thought I was. Huh?
Well, no, I got it confused with the Rolex 24, but yeah, he is one of the drivers that have won both of those events, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it is.
It definitely is.
But who cares?
Also,
who cares what I think?
Oh, we like to hear what you think, Sal. You just get a little passionate about it sometimes. Now,
even if it's bad?
Dover, huh?
Even if it's bad?
Well, I like a more positive slant on things, but
okay. So I can't talk about Danica and her sponsorless ride.
No, we won't talk about that, Sal.
Okay, all right.
Let's talk about Dover International Speedway.
But actually, Ford did step up,
their,
and they said they would keep her in the seat this year, right? So that's positive.
I'm sorry?
Ford stepped up. Ford stepped up and said they would keep her in the ride. So that's positive.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. So Danica will definitely be driving the entire season, is what Ford has said. Okay, so Dover International, they're expanding their safer barriers on the track, which is good because there's been a lot of criticism at Dover International Speedway for not having done that sooner. So better late than never that they're taking those steps.
Oh, and how's the LIFE project coming along in Martinsville? Are they done yet?
I think so. I think there are lights at Martinsville Speedway, so I think we will be seeing that this year.
Yeah, I haven't checked to see if they're finished yet, but I know they're putting them up, and gosh, it took so long. I mean, they're ready to bulldoze the track before they're going to put lights up.
Well, I think it's going to be great to have lights at Martinsville Speedway. It's great racing during the day, but can you imagine racing at that little half-mile track under the lights? I think that'll make it that much more exciting to watch that racing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sal, you're going to be at the racetrack this weekend?
Probably not. Our season will start until March. Yeah.
I'll tell you what you can do in the meantime. It'd be great if you could write up a wrap up of the winter showdown, since you were there this weekend, so that we can post that on fanforracing.com.
Man, if I post a wrap up, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. Because you heard what I told Brian. What happened at the go kart track stays there, and that's part of the weekend.
Okay,
I mean,
but we're talking
SRL
about the winter
there.
Showdown race itself.
Okay, you said the winter showdown. Well, that was part of the winter showdown because after it got rained out, everybody went over there, and most of the drivers were there. And it was,
well, we don't want to get
it
in trouble,
it was
Sal.
So. Oh, no, I won't get in trouble. I mean, there was not really went on. It just, you know, just everybody just, you know, relaxed.
Well, good. That's what it's about. And it turned out to be a good thing, I think, for everybody involved, it sounds like, and gave everybody a chance to relax before. Like you say, it's a lot of work putting that together. And even for the drivers behind the scenes, they put a lot of work into preparing for this race. So great chance for everybody to get some relaxation in. Now, we'll be back here next week, Sal, for NASCAR fan NASCAR and Race Talk on next Monday night, which is February the 20th. We do have Kaz Grala already lined up for our 9 o'clock segment. He will be racing this weekend in the ARCA Racing Series at Daytona, so we'll be able to get his thoughts about that race on Monday night during our 9 o'clock half hour. So we will be right back here on Tampa Racing Radio.
All right. That sounds like it's going to be a good one. I guess I'll have to start see who I'm going to bring on as a guest for next week. I have a few ideas. But.
Well, I'm hoping we get one of the race winners from the weekend as well, either the Can-Am Pro Series East or the ARCA Racing Series. We hope to have one of those two in our winner circle during the first half hour of the show.
I'm sure we should be able to. You know, the ARCA Series likes you a lot.
Well, we'll see what happens, and we'll work on that. But, Sal, we hope you have a good week, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next Monday night, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk. Have a great week, and are there any shout-outs you want to do before we close up shop here?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, just a shout-out to all our listeners, you know, whether you're listening live or listening on a podcast. You know, just thank you, you know, for supporting us. You know, we need all the support we get. And, we do this for you. You know, we don't do it for us. Because if we did it for us, we'd make sure we'd be talking about each other, you know, and, you know, like we do sometimes on the phone. But, you know, we do this for you, you know, and so we hope that you guys enjoy it. And you know what? And it'd be nice to get some interaction, you know, maybe a tweet or, you know, ask a question or call in, you know, and just say, you know, you guys, you know, thanks or, you know, or no thanks or, you know, or something. But, you know, it'd be nice to get some interaction. But other than that, like I said, you know, just thank you. Thank all of you, you know, for listening. And thank you, Sharon, for, you know, for putting up with me all these years. And you sound like a farewell speech, like I'm leaving the show off.
I hope you'll be back,
you know,
next week, Sal.
You know, yeah, well, you know, just thanks, you know, for all that. You know, I never really take the time out to do that, but, you know, so, you know what, enjoy your time, you know. Weekend's almost here, another 5 days. Week just started. I feel like the weekend's almost here, so, you know.
Absolutely.
Have a good week, you know, weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Sal. Okay, thank you, Sal. For thanking our listeners, because they are an important part of why we do this. And we always appreciate our listeners. And I agree with you. We love to hear from those folks that are listening to the show, whether it's live or whether it's on the podcast. So do shoot us a tweet or a comment or whatever on Facebook or Twitter or Google+, wherever you find out about us. Send us a note and let us know that you're listening, because we really do appreciate that. And with that, Sal, I think we are going to call it a wrap. And we hope everybody has a great week. And Sal, it sounds like it might be time to get some rest, too. I heard you yawning there a few minutes ago.
Yeah,
it's been
a long weekend
for you.
Well, Thursday I drove 10 hours. I drove 5 hours up, 5 hours back to do an hour and a half job. And then I had to drive 2 hours Friday morning to Kern. And then the rain out, then we stayed out. I don't know what time I got home, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, I don't remember. And then I had to get up Saturday for the race and then drive home Saturday night. So,
wow.
But you know what?
Well,
and actually, if any of the listeners out there want to buy me lunch, I'm over at at the Federal Building in Laguna Niguel, California. And you can just stand it to the front. Security guard Antoine that works there, he knows me, and he'll make sure that I get my lunch.
Well, I'm going to be looking forward to my pastrami that you're going to buy me for Manny's. So.
Oh, my gosh, don't even say that. You know what? Every time I fly, I would say, is the layover in Chicago? They always tell me no. I said, dang, so you need to make it in Chicago so I can run through Manny's real quick and grab a pastrami and take it on the plane and have everybody look at me while I'm eating it.
Well, if you do that, make sure you call me so I can plan to be there. So.
All right. So. Sounds good.
Okay. We'll call that a wrap.
Right.
Take care, everybody.
Okay.
Enjoy your week, and we'll see you next Monday night.
All right. Good night.
Good night.